Open up your Bibles to Philippians, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us and shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given unto us. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Worry is one of your biggest enemies. And the more you let that worry fester in your mind, the bigger it's going to get until finally it's inevitable. You're going to pop. You're going to pop. Whatever is inside of you is going to come out. It's kind of what happened to this little guy down at the restaurant. He'd been worried. You know, there's a lot of people worried. There's a lot of people worried. And here's the thing. They've been looking to the government to fix their problems. And the government can't fix their problems. And they're starting to see that, but they're still believing the government to fix it, but that's not happening, so they're blaming other people for their problem not getting fixed. And then their worries get bigger and bigger and more compounded until finally they just pop. They can't take the pressure no more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. That literally means don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, there's 10 secrets to keep. We got to be actively involved in this. What happens to people is they'll get a worry will hit them. That's a fiery dart. The fiery dart is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So this worry will hit them, and then they'll go through this little ritual of playing mental basketball with themselves by trying not to worry. Or they'll maybe even take it a step further and try to think positive thoughts. Well, that's what the world teaches, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible will teach you when you have a worry, you need to get your mouth engaged with the Word of God, saying something. One of the biggest things we want to do is found in verse 7. It says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what people are seeking, is peace. Peace. They want peace. They want shalom. They don't know about it. But they'll try to find this peace through happiness. See, happiness comes and goes. They'll try to find this peace through people. People will let you down. They're trying to find peace through money. Money will let you down. They'll try to find peace through any kind of, all these different addictions is people seeking peace. Amen? We want to permit the peace of God to really garrison our heart, to keep our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. That's our goal. Jesus coined the word shalom. And nothing missing, nothing broken. The hippies came up with peace. Well, no. Actually, you know where this came from? It wasn't the hippies. When they were persecuting Christians, right after Christ died, when they were persecuting Christians, they had tied them to a stake and they would light them on fire. Well, they'd tell their buddies, said, look, I'm going to get on that stake. They're going to put me on that stake. If it don't hurt, I'll go like this. That's where that come from. They'd, fingers, they were so wrapped up in the anointing that nothing could hurt them. They looked forward to it, actually. We need to renounce all worry by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. It will make all of our requests known to God. We should pray to God. We should ask God about some of this stuff. We should ask God to meet our needs. Yeah. And then give thanksgiving. Thank him for meeting your needs. He already met him at the cross. So run around. You can get your prayer life to the point where you just run around and say, thank you, Father, for making me these things. Thank you for making me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Instead of asking him to help you be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just start appropriating it in your life. It's already there. It's already a truth. You just have to get your mouth in order. Amen? Now, James chapter 4, verse 7. Have you ever heard of a schizophrenic Christian? There are lots of them. There are lots of them. They think one minute that God's blessing them, and then the next minute that God's cursing them. I know by now most of you have seen some kind of little sign or poster or something on Facebook or somewhere that all this stuff that's going on is the judgment of God. All these tornadoes and the COVID bug and hurricanes and all this stuff is judgment of God, and that we better wake up. It's not the judgment of God. Remember, if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the thief. It's the thief. America is fighting off an attack. Amen? There's just attacks all the time, and we have to fight them off. That's our job as the church, to keep standing in there. Verse 7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say anything about chasing the devil down. It doesn't say anything about hunting him down, looking him up. It just says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. You want to know what the best way to hurt the devil is? This is top secret information. This is right off the press. Don't do what he tells you to do. That hurts him worse than anything. Don't do what he tells you to do. Amen. Submit yourself to God and don't do what the devil tells you. Yeah. Think on the right things. See, we do got to think on the right thing. And if you haven't noticed, these fine-tuned thinking machines that we got, they seem to never shut up. And they keep rolling. They just keep rolling and rolling and rolling. And if you don't check in with that thing every once in a while and check on it, you'll find your thinking is way off in left field somewhere, man. It might even get you to start rattling off stuff that it's thinking. When I first discovered this, I didn't realize I was such a twisted creator. But I was learning about the words of my mouth, figuring out that I had to control the words of my mouth. So I would start off, I'd go out in the oil patch, and I had all these wells to check, and I'd start off, man, I would be dead zero on the word. I'd be focused on the word. I had little flashcards. I'd meditate on these cards. Well, I had hundreds of wells to check. So the first 50 would go by pretty smooth. And then I'd get in the rhythm, and I'd be going, and I'd be going fast, and I'd be going fast. And somewhere along around 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, I would catch myself singing these rotten songs. What happened? Well, I'd get busy, and I'd turn the radio on, and I'd just be focused on what I was doing. And I'd get my eyes off the Word of God, and I'd be going. And pretty soon, I would just turn this thing loose, because I'd be in the routine. And then pretty soon, because this thing got turned loose, this thing would start rattling off what it was thinking and what these things were hearing. So you see how we got to check in every once in a while. David had to. He had to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What was he doing? He was telling his mind what he was going to think. You know, he'd been living in a cave, and the king who was living in his house was trying to kill him. So he had an opportunity to get depressed. So he'd have to tell his mind to shut up and think on the right thing. We do too. We have to keep our mind stayed on God. This is the trick here. This is the thing. Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You know, we can learn a lot from Peter when he jumped out of the boat. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. I'm sorry. We can learn a lot from Peter when he jumped out of the boat. He was walking on water. He was looking at Jesus, and he was walking on water. When he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves, he started sinking. Now, our problems in life could be the wind and the waves. You know, bills, that could be wind. Kids, that could be waves. You know, all this other stuff, whatever it is, it might get our eyes off of God for a little bit. It'd be the wind and the waves of life. You know, and then we start getting into that sinking feeling. I know each one of you have at some point in time felt like you were just pressed. And at some point, you got with God and asked him to help, and it felt like the weight of that world had been lifted off of you, and your shoulders actually felt better. What is that? We got our eyes back on the answer, and the problem got smaller. Amen? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." That's where we want to be, perfect peace, "whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Our strength will come in peace. Yeah. I always remember my dad one time. We lived in this trailer house, and one time this storm blew in. It was bad. I mean, it was a bad one. We had some big pine trees like that, and them things were bent over, and I thought, they're going to pop. I said, "This is a tornado." And I went in there, and my dad, he's got his feet kicked up in the easy chair, sipping on a cup of coffee and smoking a cigarette and had his slippers on. I said, "What do you think we ought to do?" He said, "Turn the TV up." I said, "You know, those trees look like they're about ready to be pulled up out of there." He said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Well, okay." Honestly, what are you going to do about your big problem? Jesus asked one of his disciples, "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature?" Can you fix it? Then fix it. If you can't, pray about it. And get your eyes on the answer and let him worry about it. I don't know what these guys went through, but I know I've seen guys that I grew up with, went to school with, and they're bald, they're white-headed, they're getting body parts replaced. One of them just had a heart attack. And it's stress. Life is a stressful place for some people. I'm still doing pretty good. I ain't white-headed yet. I'm getting some gray. That's her. I never had a gray hair till I got married. But we need to keep our eyes on God. That's our answer. You know, Abraham's an interesting fellow, but his wife, Sarah, have you ever thought about her? She was 90 years old. And this Pharaoh, this Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh's had harems of beautiful women. He looks out here at this 90-year-old woman and said, man, she's good looking. What was that? That was the anointing. You get in contact with that anointing and you stay hooked up with that anointing and stay in that word and keep feeding on Christ and keep letting his life come into you. It does something to you. It'll change your complexion. It changed hers. It changed him. There's something to be said about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that word is a source of that anointing. When you find out the goodness of God and what Jesus done for you, and you keep on receiving that into you, it's going to cause you to have that joy. Joy is a fruit. Joy is a fruit. It'll cause you to have that joy come in and that life of God flowing through you. Amen? Now, let's go to the next one here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We've got these weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you're going to notice, now, people, you know, if something doesn't change here pretty quick, people are going to get really weird. They're going to get really, really strange. But you're not dealing with flesh there. You're dealing with spirits. There's other spirits involved here. Now that guy that went loony down at the cafe, I've known him, and under situations that aren't stressful and aren't confusing, he's actually a pretty nice guy to talk to. Well, he's not born again. So there's other spirits that are working on him and causing him to be very irritable. There's a lot of people in those shoes. There's a lot of people running around that don't have Jesus to turn to. They don't have that fellowship with him. They don't have that peace of God causing them to have that comfort. So they're seeking comfort wherever they can find it. I would be really surprised if there won't be a whole bunch of people going to treatment centers here pretty soon. The pressure will be too much for people to take. That being said, pressure is this, simply this. Pressure is, see, Satan puts pressure on people to cause them to sin. That's what pressure is. It's Satan pushing on you to sin. So we put on this armor of God. Most of it you're going to put on as having a revelation of what Christ has done for you and in your new birth. Verse 5 says, to cast down these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These thoughts, we're always going to have thoughts. We're always going to have thoughts. Satan is always going to be throwing those ideas to you. He's always going to be throwing those thoughts your way. Now, you haven't sinned just because you had a thought. Jesus said, why did you take that thought saying? So when you get that thought, you cast it down in the name of Jesus. But don't take that thought and say it into the atmosphere. Satan will say, you're going to die. The COVID bug is going to get on you and you're going to die. How do you take that thought? I'm saying, the COVID bug is going to get on me and I'm going to die. If I don't wear a mask and everybody else don't wear a mask and they don't all stay home, we're all going to die. He's got, I don't know how many millions of people spoofed into believing that lie. But they're believing it and they've taken that thought and they said it because what they're getting fed on TV and wherever else, and all these trusted servants that they elected into office are telling them, say, you got to do this and you got to do that or you're going to die. So they took that thought and they said it. Now it's theirs. You know, if they don't do something pretty quick, they will. You can believe yourself into just about anything, whether you're born again or not. So don't take that thought. Take it captive. Cast that thing down. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. So we're casting down these strongholds, these imaginations, these thoughts that come to us. You take them captive in the name of Jesus and cast them down. You're not fighting with flesh and blood. I know everybody gets focused in on a certain group of politicians. They're the servants of the real force that's going on. They're serving whoever their God is. It's those spirits that are behind them. That's what we're fighting. That's what we're fighting with. You just gotta know in your heart that Nancy Pelosi's never had an original thought in her life. Somebody has been feeding her information. Amen. You just got to know somebody that dumb is not going to come up with this stuff. Put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about our armor. And this is stuff you're going to get by having a revelation of what he's done for you. I wondered about that. I wanted the armor of God on me, and I didn't know how to do that. And I asked a preacher, and he didn't either. So I thought, well, I got to figure this stuff out. When I finally figured out, is once you have a revelation of what the blood has done for you, that armor is going to be on you. It's going to be there. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're pretty much in an evil day right now, ain't we? And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How is our loins going to be girt about with truth? The Word of God. The Bible. That's our truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. How do you suppose we put on the breastplate of righteousness? By getting a revelation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did for me on that cross. Amen? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, this is one a lot of Christians need to get on right now. Get your feet shod with the gospel of peace. How do you do that? Pick up the Great Commission and go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people a reason why you're happy now. Tell people the reason why you're not afraid now. Amen? There's people undoubtedly are wondering why you're not running around with a mask on. Are you nuts? Well, if they ask you, then tell them it's Jesus. He's my mask. He's my defense against the COVID bug. Amen? Above all, take up the shield of faith. How are we going to take up the shield of faith? This is the easiest way. I believe on Jesus, what he did for me on that cross. Amen? It's not about our faith. It's not because we got so much faith. It's because he's got so much grace and we believe it. Amen? That causes faith to happen in our hearts. Then we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray. You ever wonder what your shield of faith would look like? Wood or steel? How about water? Because your shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts. We're washed by the water of the Word. We're cleansed by that Word. We get that Word in our hearts. We get up a shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. What would be a fiery dart? I seen what you did. I seen you when you was at the post office and you looked at that woman. As a matter of fact, you went around the corner to look at her. And you call yourself a Christian. Your answer to that is on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I have the hardest time not looking at women. And he was tore up about this. And I said, do you realize where you live at? He looked at me kind of funny. I said, you live in Northeast Wyoming, and it's August, and there's a million bikers running around, and their girls have about 2 stitches of clothing on. Will you give yourself a break? he looked at me kind of funny and said, oh, geez, man, you got to... There, in August in Northeast Wyoming, you can't turn around without seeing somebody in a bikini. It's crazy. So I said, just get over it and go on with life. He said, okay. They helped him a lot. Let's get this thing finished here. Have faith in God. Literally have the God kind of faith. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. We found out that the God kind of faith is that faith that says something, that calls things that are in the natural to be changed by things of the supernatural. Amen? Live and walk in the Spirit. You know, this verse gets switched all the time. Maybe people unwittingly do it, but the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I know that these good-meaning church ladies were trying to help me, but they'd always do this same routine. They don't even mean to say, you need to quit smoking, and you need to quit drinking, and you need to quit hanging around at the bars, and you need to quit running around. Said, and then you need to go marry some young girl and then go to church. And I'd look through my red eyes at them, and I'd sit there and I'd say, lady, you don't know how many times I quit drinking and smoking and quit running around. And about this young girl, fictional young girl you keep talking about. What to do. But if I could do all that, I would go to church. They're telling me that all backwards. They should have been telling me, said, go to church. You'll be able to quit drinking, smoking, running around. You'll run into some young lady and you'll get married. What we're supposed to do, walk in the Spirit. Somebody finally got me born again. I started a little bit walking in the Spirit. And then I learned something else in the Bible, and I started walking in the Spirit a little bit farther. And then a little bit more. And I kept getting a little bit more light, a little bit more light. And pretty soon I was not recognizable to what I had been. That's how it happens. The people think they need to get fixed and then come to church. Well, they need to come to church and then get fixed. Amen. Do not cast away your confidence. This is a biggie. You get a confession going. You find something in the Bible that's talking about you, a promise in the Word of God, you start confessing that. You start standing on that and believing that. Then when that wind and wave hits, your confession has to be the same. Don't say, well, I must have done it wrong. I'm just an old has-been. I'm not ever going to be good at anything. I'm just going to be broke all my life. Don't. You got to get your mind on God and keep your confession the same. And then just to finish it off, 1 Peter chapter 5. We're 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, somebody might say, well, that was Peter. That was Peter. He was an apostle. Yeah, that was Peter. He was an apostle. But he also had to grow into this. One day, him and his buddies were at the shoreline, and Jesus come down there and said, this, get on the boat, go over to the other side. So they all got on the boat. They were going out there, and as they went, Jesus went to sleep, and a storm hit. Peter went running down there and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to perish? He calmed the storm, and they went ahead and got over to the other side. The next boat trip, you read about them, Jesus compelled them to get on the boat. This time they were going out by themselves. They got in trouble. And Jesus come walking out on the water. And they got the job done. Yeah. The next time you find Peter being in a real hard spot, he's in jail. The guys that crucified Jesus had him chained in jail, tied down to the ground, had all kinds of guards around him. And Peter evidently just didn't care. Because the angel had to kick him in the ribs to wake him up and say, let's go. See, we're going to get these things experientially. First time, it might be a little rough. Second time, it might be rough, but maybe not quite as rough. The third time might be a little bit better. Till one time, you just wake up and say, why didn't I worry about that? Well, you casted it over to him. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that every time we feed on your word, it makes our spirits stronger. We get more and more revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We get more revelation of what we can do in Christ. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.